You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. 4 years ago, artist and composer Paul Schutzer and his husband Chris Rickwood set out on a journey to launch a new perfume house. It was a journey that culminated in August 2016 with the launch of three fragrances, which were followed last year by another two, all under the brand Paul Schutzer Perfume. The fragrances are made and packaged in the Cotswolds here in the UK and shipped to stockists around the world, from the US to Portugal to Poland. Today, Paul and Chris are here to share their story. Speaking first, here's Paul.
I'd been working primarily as a composer for quite a long time. That grew into using video and then photographs so that all the work was sort of connected. And I'd often, when I was doing installation work, really felt the absence of smell, because I'm passionately interested in perfume, and so quite often the things would feel slightly incomplete. But I thought, well, I have no idea how to do this. And then I had a show at Mag's bookshop in Berkeley Square about 5 years ago, and it was a show of photographs, and the photographs were of old and occasionally burning books. I knew that when I took the photographs, there was an incredibly pervasive smell. So I thought, I need the smell. So I sort of bit the bullet and spent about a year trying to design the smell myself. And at the end of the year, I had nailed it. And then we had the show. And the thing that was really interesting was that of all the things in the show, it was the one thing everyone wanted and couldn't have because we hadn't made enough of it. And also, it wasn't tested for skin and stuff. So I had to find a way of diffusing the smell into the gallery. So there was a big quarto book, quite an old book, and I stained every one of the pages black, and it was lying open on a kind of pedestal, and all the pages had been impregnated with the perfume, so the perfume diffused off the book. Worked incredibly well, actually, better than probably a mechanical method would work.
It was beginning to sort of show the love a bit, so people were asking about it and they wanted to wear it, which wasn't possible. And then a little while later, we were in Nice on holiday. It just was like a little moment. I think we were talking about the fact that even though we've been together as a couple 25 years now, at that time we'd never worked together. My background is in PR and branding, and suddenly we had this thing that people seemed to like, and it was just like, oh, I know, why don't we just, you know, create a brand? And so Paul went, okay.
And it just slightly took me by surprise as an idea, but there was no feasible reason not to do it.
And we didn't have a clue what we were doing. I mean, utterly clueless. Right. So it was absolutely on a whim, probably completely to do with the fact that we were in Nice and feeling like life was great and, oh, let's just do it.
There were certain things that I wanted to smell that I wasn't smelling. So that sort of made it easy in a way. So I just, and things I wanted to wear. I mean, I make them for me to wear, ultimately.
For me, it was slightly different, actually. I think it was, yes, it's a saturated market, but because I live in a world where brands are constantly working with agencies to help define a sort of brand narrative, and suddenly I kind of felt like, well, we have a real one. You know, it is a sort of a genuine story. And also, even though there were probably claims that this had been done before, this was an artist working with perfume, and I thought that was a different approach I don't think had been done before. And actually, it has worked really well for us because it is authentic, I think.
The first three we did were all based on memories that I had that were particularly olfactory. So, you know, I'd be somewhere, it wasn't particularly fabulous to look at, it wasn't, you know, the only thing that was memorable about the experience was the smell. And then I tried to rebuild really meticulously those smells and got them pretty well exactly the way I want. I mean, it took a lot of time. And then the two new releases are both olfactory homages to famous pieces of architecture. So one of them is Villa Malaparte on Capri, and the other one is the Cuadra San Cristobal in Mexico, the Louis Barragán horse ranch. They're motivated by the same things that motivate when I'm making photographs or sound, and that is an attempt to kind of translate the impression of one thing from one medium into another. I mean, initially, when I did the very first fragrance, I was ordering materials online, which you think about it for 2 seconds is insane, because, of course, you can't smell them. And they're not inexpensive. And so probably 80% of them would arrive and you think, well, can't use that. That's just horrendous. Because I had no contacts and the material houses that provide 90% of the materials that are used are simply not interested in dealing with anyone on this scale, so they don't even return your calls. So you have to find ways of getting hold of material. That's really complicated. But you make contacts. And one thing that's really interesting in the UK now is there's a fantastic, rapidly growing core of independent perfumers who all know each other and all talk to each other, and you know, we share materials, and that's brilliant. It's a really, really refreshing thing that's kind of revealed itself. So that helped enormously. There's a group in London called Creative Perfumers who very kindly just let me sort of tinker away in their lab, kind of largely unobserved for about 18 months. I'd just pop in there once a week and play, which was incredibly indulgent of them because, you know, I was playing with some very expensive materials, but it was a really great way of learning. It sort of accelerated the process hugely. While I was doing all of this learning, I slightly dropped quite a few other balls, so the photography and the music just completely took a back seat. And I had a couple of albums that were supposed to be delivered over this period, and went just after we launched the number 4 and 5, I thought, okay, I can take a breather and I can return to doing this one particular album. It was hugely informed. The whole process was really informed by what I'd been doing for the last 4 years, more so than I would have thought. And sound and fragrance are incredibly linked. Like, it's the most amazingly complex, almost limitless series of connections between them. So they feed one into the other in great ways.
We worked really closely with a really fantastic designer. So Paul and I both had an idea of the sort of broad area that we wanted to be in terms of how the brand would look and feel as well. Actually, I think touch was an element, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so in terms of the texture of the particular paper, and we knew we wanted it to have a real sense of sort of luxury. So I guess contacts and knowing that world and knowing those people, that really helped. And we did work with this fantastic guy called Dan Calderwood, who really helped to bring to life some ideas that we had, and he brought masses to it, which was really wonderful.
Yeah, he did.
I think also perhaps a sort of a sense of stubbornness, of knowing that in trying to get in front of buyers, which has probably been the hardest part of it. So I think for Paul, as an artist, it was about the making and creating. And I think my time then really kicked in once we had the product, and now it's a case of going, oh, okay, so we've got all this lovely perfume and now we need to sell it. So I think that's when I really kicked in. So yes, in terms of the more straightforward PR, but also in terms of trying to find as many different ways to get in to meet those people, especially Liberty. I mean, trying to get in to meet the guys at Liberty started as soon as we had the idea of the brand and took us 2 years to actually get a meeting in. It was amazing. And then when we got the meeting, they said yes in 12 hours. It was amazing. So it was 2 years and 12 hours. I think it would be safe to say it's been harder than we anticipated. Definitely the breakthrough moment was Liberty taking us. It's such a fantastic calling card, and it's a calling card sort of globally. I think in the UK, there are surprisingly few outlets which actually do embrace niche perfumes. Biggest thing, it's not quick. I mean, this is a really slow process. And I think for Paul and I, we definitely have really big ambitions for it. It's definitely not a sort of lifestyle project. I mean, it really is. No. Needs to operate as a proper business. But we do also recognise that it's going to take time.
Thanks very much to Paul Schutzer and Chris Rickwood for coming in and sharing the story behind Paul Schutzer Perfume. This show was produced by Daniel Bache and edited by Kieran Matthew Banerjee. I'm Matt Alagaya. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.